If you will, 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to keep going here and really kind of conclude this section here about talking about honoring the elders who rule well. We'll start reading in verse 17. We'll pick up in verse 19. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And again, we looked at those last time, that issue of taking care of, honoring, esteeming the elders, that the elders, you're going to do that in general, but then especially the elders that are laboring in the word and doctrine. And again, we kind of hurried through that at the end about the word. You got to have the word. And in our language, it's King James Bible and so forth. And if you don't have the word and you're not using the word, then you're not worthy of the double honor, okay, the honorarium. But that's not enough. And what? The doctrine. So now, the doctrine is the message given to the Apostle Paul, the understanding of right division, the understanding of the grace life, the movement and everything. So when you begin to look around at preachers who get paid to be preachers full time, what word are they using and what doctrine are they teaching? Scripture says that it needs to be the right word and the right doctrine. And if they're not, then guess what? They're not worthy of the honorarium here, the compensation, the salary, the wage, however you want to say it. In connection with that, then verse number 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Here is another way to honor the elders that rule well. And by doing, really, these verses here, this passage, verse 19 and 20, it gets used when somebody wants to nail somebody. When somebody's mad at somebody and they just want to go get them, they bring these verses up quickly. And unfortunately, fortunately, these verses have a context. Unfortunately, they get yanked out of that context and used in a very inappropriate manner. And when you look here, and we're going to look at verse 19, 20, and 21, because these verses are connected with the issue of honor and esteeming the elders in verse 17 and 18. This passage is very instructive about how to deal with an elder, a leader, who does have a problem, okay? But also, it can be applied onto how to handle one another. If the elder, and we've seen this, if you look back in chapter 4, verse number 12, where Paul is talking to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. If the elders are to display what the members of the local assembly are to be about and look like and act like and be, which they are, then when it comes to this information here in chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, guess what? It's also instructive on how we should be handling each other when there's issues. And so when we come through this, again, it's a passage that is very misunderstood because we read things into the passage that isn't there. Look at verse 19. 5:19, against an elder, believe not the accusation. Doesn't say that, does it? Most of us say that. Most of us say, believe not an accusation. What does it say? It says, receive not an accusation. Believing something and receiving something are not the same thing. They're not equal to one another. When you are, it says, receive not. Don't even listen to the accusation. Don't pay attention to the gossip, the slander, the talebearing that comes over, in our case, a lot of times, the internet and comes at you. See, receive not, verse 19, against an elder, receive not an accusation. You're not to listen to it. You're not to even acknowledge it. You're not even to allow it through the front door of your thinking process. But what's the next verse after the word accusation? The next word. But before two or three witnesses. There needs to be, and I like to call them independent witnesses. They're independent of each other, okay? They're not, and I'm going to pick on Joe and Mark just because it's not Joe telling Mark and then Mark telling Quinn and Quinn telling John. It's Joe hears it, Mark is independent of Joe, and Quinn is independent of Joe and Mark. It's an independent issue. It isn't gossip. If Joe tells Mark and Mark tells Quinn and Quill tells John, that's gossip. See? So it needs to be independent, not the same person who's just, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said? See, you're not to receive that. You're to say, no, that's okay. I haven't and I don't care. Okay? You're not to be the busybodies. You're not to be the gossipers. And I know that when we've come down through like about the widow and the women and things, that's usually labeled with them, but men are just as bad, if not worse, to be honest with you. Okay? So this is an equal charge, verse 21. I charge thee. This is an equal charge here. You're not to receive it unless there's two or three witnesses. And again, I like to say independent because witnesses are to be what? Independent of each other. That is, by the way, that is clear throughout the law, throughout your Old Testament. Anytime there was a court of law where Israel was going to be bringing a matter to court, there had to be at least two. Three were better. When the Lord talks to the apostles, he tells Peter, you're the chief of the apostles. What you bind and loose will be bound and loose. What you do here on earth will take care of in heaven. But when the rest of you get together, you got to have a quorum. Do you remember the quorum numbers? Two or three are gathered in my name. Remember Matthew. See, that two and three number, that's the issue there. Paul, verse 19, against an elder, receive not the accusation. By the way, why would you receive an accusation? What are you doing? Well, you're wanting to investigate it, aren't you? You hear something. Hey, did you hear what Rick said? Well, no, I didn't. What did he say? Well, I heard he said this, this, and this. So what are you wanting to do? You're wanting to see if it's true. That's human nature, by the way, is to go to the worst case scenario. You're not to pay attention to it. You're not to investigate it unless you have what? Two or three independent witnesses, people who are going to stand on their own. By the way, when you go to a court of law and you have a witness, what can the guy that's in trouble do? He can confront the witness, can't he? See? And that's the issue here. And there's some other things going on here. By the way, when you do have two or three independent witnesses, then what are we going to do? Now we're going to look into it. Now we're going to figure out what's going on. You follow that? These passages, again, I know guys, grace preachers, they pull this stuff out to nail me between the eyes at every turn. We've had people who have attended here that go away, use this stuff to accuse me of stuff. I know about it, okay? And they were here. Well, by the way, I'm going to jump ahead of myself, so I won't do that. Just remind me about the by the way, okay? This is critical here because receive not an accusation. Who's receiving the accusation? It's not going to be the elder. It's going to be who? You guys, the local assembly. See, that's who's receiving it. It's critical. This is a critical subject in the issue of honoring the elder because this is the local assembly is to do verse 19. The local assembly is to not receive the accusation about the leadership. It's not to listen to the rumor. It's not to listen to the gossip. It's not to listen to the accusation that comes. Rather, what they are to do is to protect the leadership. Again, if two or three independent witnesses pop up, what are we going to do? We'll deal with it. And there's mechanisms to deal with that issue or issues, okay? But unless there's, if there's not that two and three independent witnesses, the local assembly is to say, you know what? No, we won't even let you in the front door. We're not even going to entertain the idea. Again, it's the local assembly's job. Come over to Romans 14. When we talk about independent witnesses, or we talk about witnesses, you have to be very careful in this arena amongst dealing with leadership, but really amongst each other. Look at Romans 14 and verse number 4. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Notice the question at the beginning of the verse. Who are you to do what? Judge, discern, make a judgment about something. Of who? Another man's servant. In other words, if it is not in your area of responsibility, you need to butt out of it. It doesn't belong to you. Okay? As your pastor and as the board, where is our area of responsibility? Right here. It isn't in California. It isn't in Illinois. It isn't the other churches in the Phoenix metropolitan area. I hear stuff all the time about other groups, other churches. I don't care. It's not my area of responsibility. Where's my area of responsibility? Right here. Where is your area of responsibility? Right here. So if I'm overtaken in a fault, who's going to be the first ones to know about it? You guys are, okay? So then what can we do? We can then deal with the issue and it be done with. And then if somebody comes and says, hey, did you hear about Richard Jordan in Chicago and what he, you know, says and blah, blah, blah? He's my dad. So what? I had a guy one time tell me, he goes, you know, your dad, I said, well, stop. You need to talk to my dad. If you want to talk about us here, then we can have that conversation. But if you got an issue with Richard Jordan and Shorewood, you need to go talk to them. Don't talk to me. You follow that? That's the issue here. You're in Romans 14. Look over in Romans 3. So the issue of the two or three witnesses is going to be in the area of where the judgment is going to happen. So if, just as a crude illustration, if I said, did you hear what John Verstegen is doing in Southern California? That is not my area of responsibility. You know what I become? A slanderer. A gossiper. Now, if two or three of the guys in John's church come and say, hey, Rick, this is what's going on, we need some help, and they're independent of one another, and they give an independent account of it, now what can happen? Now I can go and help. Follow that? And very crude. Because the area of responsibility is right here for me. If somebody calls me on the phone, or in nowadays emails, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? I usually don't respond back, quite honestly. I might go and listen and see if it was really said, but I don't take it any further than that. I don't make it an issue, because it's not my responsibility. It's not my job to do what? To judge them. It's not my job to go over there and say, hey, you said this, no, blah, 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 you know. I've done that with a couple guys. I've asked them. I said, I was listening to you and I heard you say this. What did you mean by it? Can you explain that to me? Because I'd really kind of like to know what you're thinking here is in a study type scenario, not an accusation. See, an accusation, that's the issue. You're in Romans 3, I hope, verse 8. If I have an accusation against an elder here, in order for me to receive it, I have to have two or three witnesses. I'm talking about here, internally. Then I can do what? Make a judgment. Follow that? Now, parlay that into us dealing with each other. That is the standard, if you will. We've had folks here that studied with us. I can remember when a young man came into our assembly. We were meeting in the La Quinta Hotel, and he was there, and he came in, he sat, we were studying, we got done. He came up and he says, are you going to kick me out of your church? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I don't use a King James Bible. And I heard that if I don't use a King James Bible, you're going to kick me out of your church. And I said, well, first of all, you heard wrong. Second of all, give me 6 months and you won't use that Bible you're using. And he took the challenge and he stayed with us about 8 or 9 years, okay? But he had what? He heard something. He received that, hey, if you go down there and you don't use a King James Bible, Rick Jordan Jr. is going to kick you out of his church. Until he did what? Talked to me, found out that wasn't the case. That same gentleman later was being attacked on a bulletin board. I came to his defense because you don't attack one of my people. And it was an inappropriate attack. It wasn't accurate. See. So when you think about this, you got to have the witnesses. You got to have the account. And then you're going to deal with it. But look at chapter 3 here of Romans. And I'll be honest with you, you can't judge something honestly in somebody else's backyard and you not be there. And if you do, you're a slanderer. You're a gossiper, you're a talebearer, you're a troublemaker, and you need to knock it off. You need to stop. And it gets to be something that you have to be very aware of it for yourself. Internally here, we can deal with it and go on. Look at Romans 3, verse 8. Something very interesting here in this arena of an accusation. Paul says, and not rather, parenthesis, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Notice the parenthesis. The reason I call it slander is because of this verse. Paul knows all about people doing what? Making an accusation, taking what you said and twisting it, putting evil to it. You take what you say out of context, you twist it, and then they affirm that we say. They say that that's what he said. Paul was very aware of it. It's called slander. You take it, you twist it, you put evil to it, you make it sound like it is exactly what they're going to say, what was said. And Paul, I know it happens, it's going to happen. So when you hear it about the elders, about the leaders, about especially the pastor teacher, you don't receive it. You don't pay attention to it. You don't receive it. You let it go. You let it die. It's a good way to say it. See? Because the local assembly, come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, It's slander, it's gossip, it's rumors. And unless you hear it from two or three independent witnesses who are in a position to have heard what happened, to have seen what had transpired, to say that what happened is true and accurate, you're to not even let it in the front door. Because you know what happens when you let it in, don't you? Is it really true? Did it really happen? I got to talk to Rick about that. Let's see if that really happened. You know, and now what's happened? Rather than we all be at peace at ourselves, we're doing what? We're rubbing elbows again. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 1. I want to show you something here. It's very interesting, very instructive by Paul. Look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren. Paul had heard that there's divisions down there at the church at Corinth, didn't he? That's what he just said in verse 11. But notice what he also says in verse 11. Declared unto you, unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. You see how he names the witnesses? I think that is, that there are contentions among you. Finish the verse. That's interesting. Because naming the witnesses is not a bad thing. There's no anonymous stuff here. So that what can happen? The witnesses can then be brought up and give the testimony, and the fact of the divisions being caused at Corinth are accurate. You see how Paul named the people? By the way, it's household, the house of Chloe. So there's more than one. There's a couple witnesses there, okay? But my point is Paul, he knew the accusations were coming. Come back to chapter 5, verse 19. He knows they're coming, and the only way that you're going to receive it is when there's two or three, and again, I add the word independent, witnesses of the event. Then when that happens, you're going to go deal with the issue. You make the judgment. So the standard here is set in verse 19. If an accusation comes, the local assembly is to honor the elder by not receiving the accusation, by protecting him and his reputation. And therefore, quite honestly, the reputation of the local assembly itself. Unless you have what? Two or three witnesses. Then we're going to deal with the issue, okay? Now, before we get into verse 20, remember the, oh, by the way, look at 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 12. Because when something comes up, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12, we've looked at this verse before, and we beseech you, brethren, to what? To know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. What are you to know about your leadership? You're to know them. So when somebody outside of our group says, hey, did you hear what Rick was doing, blah, blah, you know, and starts running, what should you be able to do? You should be able to know me that what they just said to you is what? Not right. It's an accusation. It's gossip. So then what am I going to do? What are you going to do? You're not going to receive it. You're just going to say, I'm going to forward this to Rick to heads up him that this is being said. Please do that, by the way. We had some stuff going on here earlier this year, and there was other things going on that I was not aware of. I was aware of the problem, but I was not aware of the great reach. And I'll be honest with you, the people who were aware of the great reach did me a very disservice by not telling me of the great reach, because when I dealt with the issue, I was unaware of all this. I couldn't deal with it in a more appropriate manner, because I just thought it was right here, when in actual the tentacles were reached out into the group. And it was not a good thing. And it, I mean, the folks that didn't tell me, that's fine, but they should have told me. Then I can deal, the leadership can deal with the whole time. Because when you have problems, when you have trouble, and I'm not talking about just disagreements and, you know, little frictions. I'm talking about deep trouble. I'm on a rabbit trail. Just give me a second. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Paul has warned about this. Acts 20. And this is the stuff that needs to be dealt with. So leadership needs to have the complete picture. Now, after the folks left, then the complete picture came out, and I was like, oh, if I'd have known that, I would have went a little harder. I would have went a different direction. But I didn't know, so I kind of soft-pedaled the, maybe you should just move on, rather than get out. Look at Acts 20. Look at verse number 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. So they're going to, the attack from the outside. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking diverse, perverse things to what? Draw away. And that's what was beginning to happen. Well, when that happens, that has to be dealt with completely different than there's just a misunderstanding about doctrine. Because in order for the folks that were asked really not to come back, in order for them to come back, they just can't walk in the front door. Because they were drawing, and see, I was not able to articulate that to them. I just said, maybe you should just move on. Because one day, the goal is to what? Hopefully restore that, but there is a process in Scripture to restore that. It isn't just, oh, hey, we're back here and we hug and love and we're all made up. Not when you're pulling away people, trying to draw away. You follow that? So when the, again, that's a rabbit trail, but when you come back to 1 Timothy 5, the goal here, the standard, is for the local assembly and honoring the elders, the leaders, especially the ones who are laboring in the word and doctrine. Another way is to protect them and not receive the accusation and say, no way, man. Why? I know him. I heard him preaching. I've heard him teaching. I've seen him doing the work of the ministry, and what you're saying ain't true. And by the way, who did you hear it from? And where did you get it from? We had a funeral years ago. We were down on Baseline, and a young man in our assembly took his life and had some mental illnesses and so forth. And we had the funeral, and we served lunch, and we had a big day, and family was very appreciative and so forth. And after that was all done, you should have heard the nonsense said that I did not let happen. I didn't let so-and-so speak, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. And the people that brought it to me, I said, well, here's the CD of the morning. Go listen. And guess what? The people that I didn't let, they took up most of the time talking and speaking. But somebody outside, not aware of what really happened, made accusations, and the person they made the accusations to believed them because they weren't there. Came at me with guns blazing. I'm like, whoa, slow your roll, dude, here. And they had to come back and apologize. See, well, that wouldn't have happened if what? You don't even receive it because you know the leadership. You follow that? That's the. So this is on the local assembly to do some protecting here as well. Then you come to verse 20, 5:20. Then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And this is a verse that gets everybody in trouble. Because usually what happens here, and the usual way of understanding verse 20 is, we're going to take the elder that sinned, and we're going to hang him up in front of everybody, and we're going to crucify him. Now, I don't know any elder leader that has never sinned, not sinned. And if that's the attitude you're going to have, guess what you're never going to have? You're never going to have an elder or a man stand up and say, hey, I desire that office and I'm going to do that. They're just not going to happen because they know what's going to happen. Every time I mess up, what's going to happen? I'm going to get hung out to dry over, okay? See, the real question is what is the sin in the context here? What's the sin? It's verse 19. It's receiving the accusation. That's the sin. The sin here is violating verse 19, receiving an accusation without there being the witness testimony. You're receiving the slander. That's what you're receiving. That's the sin. And what are you to do with that sin? You're to rebuke the slander before the whole church. You're to say, hey, look, so-and-so said this, and it's wrong. That what would happen? That others also may what? Fear. Fear what? Well, who likes to be called out to be wrong? So then what would they do? What would be the hopeful thing that they would do? Verse 19, not receive the... See, the sin here isn't the elder messing up, because we can deal with that, because it's here, it's with us. The issue is receiving the accusation to begin with without the proper two or three witnesses. That's the sin. You're going to rebuke the slander. You're going to rebuke the gossip. And folks, the accusations come. I've grown up my father's son. There is none of you in this room that are, well, I can't say that. That's not the right way to say that. I've seen my dad attacked by people, by men, who are, if I told you, you would go, no, there's no way, and yet they did. And they do it on the basis of, I heard that you preach this. And they never listen to see if that's true. I've seen my dad deal with it. I almost said fight it, but he doesn't really fight it. Deal with it. I've seen my dad look at things and go, that isn't worth the breath or the time. I'll just let it be. Because, so I've learned a lot of that just by being a son, okay? But I've also learned it from being a pastor. And there are I think it was Spurgeon that said, when an accusation comes, don't defend it. Your enemies will not accept the explanation, and your friends don't need one. Now, that carries on in the back of my mind actually quite a bit. Because when things come up, and they do, I go, if I say something, they're not going to believe me. And the guy that sent it to me, he's just FYI-ing me, and because he don't care. So we'll just put it over in the file, and I have a file, 13, and just let it be. See? And then there are some things that come up that you go, okay, I got to deal, I have to answer that. And you answer that. When it come, the key here in verse 19 and 20, quite honestly, is the honoring of the elder includes protecting the leadership, from the damaging rumors, potentially damaging rumors, false reports, accusations that come about their character, about their teaching, about who they are, and stuff like that. And that comes from usually without, because folks that are within are going to what? Have heard what was said and go, hey, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Let's have a conversation about this. And then when the stuff on the outside comes in, they go, nope, we'll put up the force field, I call it. Let the force be with you. Isn't there a new movie coming out or something? I don't know. I saw something. You know, it's crazy. We were watching TV yesterday afternoon, and they got these movies on, and this Star Wars stuff, and I got to watching that, and... anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything. And I thought I saw a commercial for a new one. I guess that's the point. Okay? So the responsibility here is on the local assembly to support, to give testimony of their leadership, to protect them, to have their back, if you will, when accusations come, and they will come, they do come, they have come, okay? Then you come to verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, verse 21 belongs with verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. I charge you. You're under charge. It's a commandment here. And this is something I've told you, when the Word tells us not to do something or to do something, we don't have a, well, maybe. In Rick's case, we're going to ignore this one because we want to get him. You don't have that choice. By the way, if that's your attitude, I love you in the Lord, but you don't. What are you doing here? If all you're doing is trying to get me, you know, honestly, you need to hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more, no more. All right? I love you. We'll see you in heaven one day, but you need to go grow up. I charge you. I charge you before God the Father, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and before the elect angels, that you observe these things, the issue about honoring the elder, double honor, protecting them, taking care of them, doing what verse 19 and 20 says to do, doing what verse 17 and 18 say to do. And by the way, notice how he says, without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. You know what? You don't pick one over the other because you like them. I don't like Rick, but I like Mark. So we'll take care of Mark. We'll let Rick hang, but we're going to take care of Mark. Uh-uh. You don't do that. You see, without partiality. By the way, this is great instructions on how we should be dealing with one another. Just because personality-wise we don't jive, we're still all what? Equal in Christ. We still all are who we are in Christ. So there's an equality here. And that attitude of equality, of esteeming the elder, the leadership, for very highly for their work's sake, what are you going to do? You're not going to show partiality. You follow that? That's a great instruction there on dealing with the interaction between the local assembly and the eldership, the leadership, but also with each other. Because he charges them before God. By the way, how many of you like chocolate ice cream? How many of you like vanilla? Vanilla is bleh. Until you do what? Put something on it. If you took pralines and added them to chocolate, you know what you get? Blah. But when you add it to vanilla, what do you get? Mmm, that's right. Now, all you guys that, I don't like vanilla very often unless I got chocolate and peanuts and pecans and cherry on top. And, ooh, yeah, you know, you get caramel, hot fudge, right? But because you like vanilla and I don't, that's too bad. There you go. Okay. It doesn't mean anything, does it? That's your personality. Mine's peanut butter and chocolate. I like the combo unit, okay? But the thing is I don't look any different on you guys that like vanilla, because most of you, I didn't even know you liked vanilla or didn't like vanilla. How many of you just like ice cream, period? All of us, right? By the way, if we all like the same thing, Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors would be out of business, wouldn't it? See, we all come differently to things, but we're to deal with one another how? Equally, see, without the partiality. But I want you to notice the beginning of that verse. I charge thee before who? Before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels. God the Father, the one giving the commandment, the one that thinks that this is serious enough to write it in His Word and to give it to you. Isn't that interesting? And the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose reputation is the one really on the line, because we preach who? Christ. And if we can't figure out what's going on and we're receiving the slander and we're not protecting and doing what we need to be doing here, who's really getting the black eye, if you will? He is. How many of you? I used to wait tables when I was in college. And the Baptist group, I name them because I just name them. They would come in on Sunday afternoons after church and sit and eat and get up. I mean, 20 of you. Not you, of them. They would get up and they would leave a dollar tip or 50 cents. And I mean, that poor waitress would work her fingers down, and yet every plate had a track on it. A $100 bill, and she'd get $5 out of it in a tip. She knows I'm a believer. I had to work that afternoon. I come around the corner. She comes around the corner. You can see the steamboat coming out, just a steam. She took that track and she literally, I mean, I still have the indent right there. These don't pay the bills, and I'll burn in hell before I ever read them and believe anything in them. Right in the garbage they went. And I just looked at her and I said, okay, what are you going to say? She was hot. She had a big group. She only gets a hand, you know. Who got the black eye there? Christ did. See? Now, it's nothing wrong with leaving a track, but leave the appropriate tip as well. Okay? But my point is before God the Father, the one write the commandment down, who thinks it's serious enough that we ought to be paying attention to this, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who it's really his reputation on the line, but notice, and the elect angels. Now, that's an interesting addition. That's an interesting threesome there because of the angels. Come over to Revelation chapter 12. You and I, 1 Corinthians, he says that you and I are made spectacle to the angels. They're Revelation 12, there are angels in this room watching us right now. You will never see them. They're in the spirit realm. By the way, if you ever saw an angel, you would keel over dead, good or bad. It just would just floor you. So when somebody says they saw a 10-foot Jesus at the end of their bed, find out what they were eating the night before because they were having a bad dream. Seriously, I know people that say that. I know people that believe that. But that's just the case because they're in a realm that you and I aren't physically right now equipped to see. The elect angels are watching. And the reason that Paul brings them in about, I charge you before God and the Son and now the elect angels, is because they are watching to see how the body of Christ functions. And are they going to function in the way of verse 17, 18, 19, and 20? Follow that? The elect angels, and I say elect because that's the saved angels. The angels don't have a savior. Christ was made a little lower than the angels to die for man. But there are two groups in the angelic host. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels, are those the good guys or the bad guys? Good guys, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Is the dragon and his angels good guys or bad guys? Bad guys. So you got Michael and the elect angels, and you've got the dragon, Satan, and the fallen angels. There was a time in the angelic host when Satan lays out his lie program that he begins to take. The reference is a third of the angelic host, the upper echelon, Daniel and Daniel 12, Daniel 10, he says, talking to Gabriel, Gabriel says that the only two guys left up here in the top, Michael's the archangel, he's the commanding general of the armies of God. Gabriel is the commanding, he's the State Department head, okay? Gabriel says the only two left standing that are on God's side are me and Michael. That means Satan took the other 10 of those high-ranking positions. And what happens is, look at verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So there's the war, Michael and the elect angels win, Satan and his angels are what? Cast out. Now watch verse 10 very carefully. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the who? Accuser. Satan, another definition of Satan, the name Satan is the accuser. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, this is going to be Israel, but by the way, what stopped the rebellion in heaven, according to Matthew 25, was God created hell. That God created hell for Satan and his angels. That stopped the rebellion in the angelic host. We've studied angels before. But look at verse 10. The accuser of the brethren. Now again, this is talking about Israel, but what are we just reading about in 1 Timothy 5, verse 19? About a what? About an accuser and an accusation that's come up. How's the local assembly supposed to handle that? How's that local group of members of the body of Christ going to handle that? And you know what? The angels, just as they're going to watch Satan and his angels get kicked out of heaven, and the heavens cleaned up for, guess who? For us, the body of Christ. They're now watching right now, how do they handle the accuser? How do they handle the accusation? You follow that? So when you come back to 1 Timothy 5:21, the addition in the group that he charges you in front of the elect angels, is because there is a connection between the elect angels and that war with Satan and his angels. And they're watching. They are paying attention to the local assembly and how do they do what the verses tell them to do when it comes to honoring the elder. Are they doing that? Is that making any sense? Okay? In the context of an accusation being laid against an elder, the leadership, Paul is telling us, I'm telling you before the elect angels who are watching the accusation being made to see how you and I are going to respond. Do we do what 5:19 says, or do we just ignore it and hang him out to dry? Do we not receive the accusation unless there's two or three witnesses, or do we just let anything and everything float right in? Do we hold the people, verse 20, accountable for the slander? Do we hold them accountable or not? Do we treat everybody without partiality, equally? See? This is high ground, folks. This is important stuff here. The elect angels need to see the local assembly. They need to see the leadership of that local assembly. They need to then therefore see the members of the body of Christ functioning as who they are in Christ. They need to see all of this working. They need to see all of that work of the ministry being done. And then they know that, hey, the accuser of the brethren won't win the day. And the first time we slip in these verses, guess who won the day? The accuser of the brethren did. It gets back up there with those younger widows waxing wanton and outdoing what they're not supposed to be doing. And Satan getting a grip on them. guess what? Here's another way. Follow that? I want you, if you got questions, you got to ask them, because this is high ground. Not just pay the preacher full time, but when things come up now in the course of that him doing the work, we're going to protect him, because what do we know he's doing? He's doing the work. Now in verse 22, we'll pick up there next time because of the time, okay? And we'll finish the chapter next time. The thing here is, when you have, I read down through that stuff, I study that stuff out, I've read this section for years. This is stuff that begins to show the maturity level of the local assembly as a whole. This past week, I talked to my father. It's his birthday. He turned 70. So we were talking. And he hit a milestone, another biblical milestone. Psalms talks about making 70. And we were talking, and he bragged about you guys and the conference. And he was asking about, hey, you know, anybody been coming and this and that? And I was like, well, there's been a couple people have said they would, but it, with the holidays and all, it's kind of, and one gentleman's having surgery and he's not able and stuff. And he was bragging about, hey, you know, you got a good group going there. You got a good thing. You got a good work of the ministry. You got, you know, the facilities. You got, you know, it's a good thing. And then I'm studying this and, you know, I've get this down. It's like, wow. Guess what's going to come? The accusations are going to come. We need to be able to stand against that. We need to be able to rebuke before all. We need to say, no, that's not right. That's not what happened. You need to go away. And by the way, you just can't come back. There's a process there. Okay. I charge you. I put this on a command on you. Before God, the Son, and the angels that are watching you, because they're watching. And what they need to see is the body function properly, especially in a local assembly, because that's the vehicle that then is going to go do the work of the ministry. Functioning properly. By the way, functioning properly doesn't mean you know everything. It means that you're operating on what you do know. Too often times I think people think, well, I don't know enough, so I can't go do. Listen, folks, if you're saved, you know more than a lost person knows. You really do. You don't have to have every answer to every question. You can say, I can get you to a guy that can give you those answers, and then let me know, and I'll get with them. But you know more than, I'll be honest with you, you guys know more than the guy coming out of seminary school with a PhD and a 4-score whatever behind his name. You do, because you know how to take this and get the benefit out of it. As a pastor, I study, I work 2-3 months on stuff. I'm already looking at Titus. We haven't even got into 2 Timothy yet. I'll go back into 2 Timothy. You guys get the benefit of that in an hour. What takes me a couple months to get out. That's a good thing. If you want the homework 2 months, I'll give it to you, and you can go figure it out yourself. That's the laboring. That's the in the word and the doctrine. That's digging that out, giving you the benefit. So now you can do what? Quickly say, hey, you know what? We talked about verse 19 and 20. This isn't right. This is not right. I'll let Rick know, because it's coming. And you guys don't know how often I protect you guys. Because I hear some, you got a bunch of sinners over there. Well, yeah, so do you, you know. But what you said is not accurate, because I know the people. I know the person. I know, and you just need to be quiet and mind your own business. I do that quite a lot. Not a lot. Not recently a lot, but in the past. Because what's our job? Our job is this right here. Follow that? We'll pick up in verse 22, I'm lay some hands on you. And I love that, lay hands suddenly on no man. That's count to 10 before you go beat them, okay? All right. Dearly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for the instruction here. We thank you for the fact that we have total equality with one another in you. And we can give you the praise and the glory for that. In your name we pray. Amen. All right.